This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I want to talk to you today just about the dream that God's put in your life. You know, it's interesting that this fell on the same Sunday that that we as a family are a part of the send-off for Kennedy to go to college will be today, and we're gonna we'll have a family meal, and then of course she and Sandy gonna do some more packing. It's awesome. Just let me help you guys. You want some help? Any guys have some kids that are going to college? Can I see your hands? Anybody going to college and they're freshmen? Can I see your hands? Let me just tell you, I want to give a plug for Target. Okay, I know they've had some issues on groups they've sponsored before and stuff, but let me just tell you how easy they make it on dads. They have a section, everything you need for a dorm room. They've got futons. They've got little mini microwaves. They've got televisions. They've got the cable, the television cable. I got in and out of there. And like, I even walked up to customer. This guy said, "Do you need a cart?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Do you just want to go to customer service to pay for it and skip the lines?" I said, "Yes, I do." I'm telling you, Sandy's going and buying stuff, like girl stuff for she and Kennedy, buying some whatever girls go buy, curlers and brushes and eyeliners and all that kind of stuff. And man, I'm out in the truck. And listen to Charlie Daniels and Allman Brothers and just enjoying the day. But this message is, I'm going to preach to my daughter, Kennedy, today. And I'll tell you why. How he's like us is he just wants the best for his kids. He wants his kids dreaming and dreaming big. And I want to kind of dispel maybe your notion or maybe a sloppy definition that you have of the dream that's in your life and living the dream. Because there's two types. There's a dream that God gives us, and that dream is so expansive and so amazing and maybe individual for you. It might be something that you've dreamt about for a long time. It might be something that it's going to require a lot of help because it's more talent and skill than you can bring to the table by yourself. But you know what? It's not a fantasy. It's not like that ninth inning home run to win the World Series or that dunk to win the national championship or that breakthrough. Man, if I could just invent an app and then I could make so much money I could go buy an island in the Caribbean. I mean, those are fantasies and those are different things. But let me tell you, God has a dream that he's put in all of our lives. And what that dream is really, really determines who you are. But how you pursue that dream, man, that's the key. It really is. How we pursue that dream that God's put in our lives. And you know, for me, it was in 1979, and I'd just become a Christian, and it was so hard. The Bible was so difficult for me. You know, I'd never been a big studier. I wasn't a big reader. You know, in contrast, Kennedy reads a book every day. It's like our Taylor and Brooklyn, like they're like, "What's Kennedy doing?" "Oh, she's reading." And they'll look at each other and say, "Where did she come from? Who is she?" And I'd say, "Sandy, were you like that?" And Sandy'd say, "Well, kind of, but not really to that extreme." And we look at it not at all. Sandy's here, you guys. Have you guys met Sandy? I want to introduce Sandy to you. But the point is that God's putting something and it's masterful in us. For me, it was in 1979. I'm a brand new Christian, and I'm looking at church. This is before I ever had any kind of inkling about church work in my life. 35 years ago, I'm a brand new Christian. I'm in my early 20s, and what hit me was, wait a second, why are we making it so difficult on people to come and be a part of this incredible experience? You know, and all the trappings of church that trip people up, because it translated to a lot of do's and don'ts. It translated more so to what you weren't allowed to do than what the real true benefits were. And so for me, man, God gave me a dream of ministry, and really it was a dream of life. And I was in a pickup truck, and I'm driving down this county road, this rural road, and there was a cut between the trees and this beaten path. And you pull your truck off the road, and you're going down this path, and all of a sudden the trees just open, and there's a big clearing. In the middle of that clearing is a big barn, and it's just vibrating and reverberating because there's so much going on. There's frisbees and footballs and horseshoes and volleyballs and just people everywhere you can see. And you go in the barn, and there's people sitting in the hayloft and on hay bales, and then there's this monster soundstage with the rock and roll and just great fun music. And I'm like, oh, this is how church should be, and really this is how life should be. Why don't we do it this way? And you know what? What I realized is that's kind of the conception of the dream that God put in front of me in my life. And being able to live that dream and, you know, the skill set that's required and the talents and the abilities, man, I didn't have much of it at all. And really, toward your dream, and I'll tell this to you, Kennedy, that toward your dream, it's not just based upon what you bring to the table. It really isn't. It's where you're connected. The Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And even in old age will be fresh and flourishing. Man, those that are planted in God's house, the house of the Lord, man, you're gonna flourish. See, that's the end of this for me, is that everyone in this room leave here and you're able to flourish. You know, in John 16, Jesus said, you know, there's so much more that I have for you. And but you know what? You're not able to bear it right now. But then he said this, and it's an interesting word. He said, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's gonna show you this. See, and what this is, what God did is just like with Jesus. What Jesus did is he opened up these men's lives to say, listen, there's a dream that your heavenly Father's given you. And listen, it's different than anything the world's produced in your life, because those are fantasies. Man, but there's a true dream. But the Bible says, that God, here's the whole idea of God toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Good and not evil. Listen to this, to give you a future and a hope. Your future, listen, there's a future for you, and it has nothing to do with where you've been or what you've been through. Man, I'm telling you, yeah, God may use some experiences that you've had, and God may use some breakthroughs and some seasoning, but I'm telling you, God wants to give you a fresh start. God wants to do something new in you today. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things, what, have passed away, and all things have become new. And see, we look at our lives now, and what God wants to do is he wants the dream. Oh, this is... I'm telling you, this is just, my heart's swelling. I could just gush right now. Man, the same way I feel about Kennedy going to college, and man, the opportunity that's in front of her. Man, that's how God is with us. There's a dream for you and me, and it's within our reach. But listen, we can't reach it on our own. It's all determined by Ephesians 4:16. The whole body joined and knit together. See, it's where we're joined. It's where we're knit. See, for me, I can kind of reach over into off of this stage, and I can reach about this far. But you know something? Man, I get somebody that's committed, that's stout, that understands that after 21 and a half years of church, man, we're not still building our base and our foundation. Man, the base and the foundation of this church is sure. Man, the foundation is very deep. We can build upon it now. And what God wants to do is this foundation and the base that he's provided in over 20 years of church to be a launch pad for your dream. But you know what it requires? It requires me to reach, because the dream is within my reach. And as I'm reaching, it's like I could get this far. It's like, oh my gosh, but it's 6 or 8 inches, a little bit farther, just a little bit farther. I can't. And you know what? If I've got somebody connected on this end, now they've got my arm, I could reach that 6 or 8 inches. I could get there. But if it's a little farther, we get to this tipping point, and that's where God is. We get to that tipping point of our reach and where God is. And now it's determined by the people that are on this side of our reach, holding like this, saying, hey, I got you. I got you. Yeah, go a little bit farther. Come on, you can do it. Go a little bit farther. Man, and you're laid out, and the next thing you know, you can reach a foot or 2 feet or 3 feet farther than you could because of who's got you, and then who's got them. See, that's where this is, where the Bible says every part is joined and then, listen, knit together. And the Bible says by where every joint supplies. See, our supplies in the joint. I had a pastor text me today from North Carolina. He said, "Hey, man, your baby's graduating." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you gonna cry?" I said, "Probably. I probably won't do it publicly. It's probably gonna happen. It's not about any empty nest. It's about my baby that's gonna pursue her dream. Because that's God's heart for us. And God wants you in pursuit of your dream. But it's that pursuit is about the reach. But it's where every part doesn't share, joined and knit together. It's where the joint supplies. You know, I think about the human body. I think about how amazing it is. You know, a couple years before Sandy and I got married, I was playing rugby, and I went to the U.S. rugby trial up in Chicago. Man, all these tremendous athletes, the top 100 rugby players in the country. And, you know, gosh darn it, everybody was fast and everybody was strong and everybody were great players. Everywhere you looked, usually I was used to playing in games where you'd see your opponent and there'd be a weak link you could pick on or somewhere you could go and be able to beat them easily. But these guys, there were no weak links. So I thought, you know what? I've got to make a play to be able to stand out. Otherwise, I've got no chance to make this U.S. rugby team. And I remember about midway through the second half of the first game I was playing in, and we were playing against the Far West, and these guys were some of the from Berkeley and from L.A. and some of the best players in the world. And this ball was bouncing. It was just me and this other guy, and I had a better angle to that ball. So I thought, man, if I could just go scoop that ball up, I could take it down the sideline. The angle that he's taken, he's got a better angle for the ball. But you know what? Not an angle to make a play on me. So all I wanted to do was scoop that ball up and go down that sideline. But as I scooped that ball up, he slid and kicked the ball. But you know what? He kicked my hand. And the ring finger on my right hand almost came off. The skin was holding it on. And so there I am in front of 40,000 people trying not to scream, okay, trying to keep a semblance of manhood, and they helped me off the field. And I remember going to the hospital in Chicago, and it was this German doctor that gets up, and he's kind of grunting, and I knew a little bit of German, but I couldn't understand any of the words that he was saying except for one. He said, "Lop." And I remember I was there, and they deadened it, my whole hand. I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking, that thing is a mess. I'm looking at my finger, and he's talking to the nurse. He said, "Lop," and he leaves the room, and he's getting ready to get, he's come back in. I said, whoa, what did he just say? She said, "Yeah, he's going to lop it off." I said, whoa, time out. Well, no, that's my finger. She said, "Well, he's concerned that you're not going to be able to use it anymore." I said, "You know, that's not really a concern. I'm a believer in Jesus, man. God's a restorer, man. This finger's going to work. It's all going to be good. It may not be pretty," which it's not, but it's going to be. But listen, so I said no. And you know what? He got frustrated with me when I said no, you got to find another way. And then they sent in an Asian doctor, and he knew no English either. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, can they just get an English-speaking doctor in here for me? And you know what? This guy came in and he turned. He said, "I'll fix it." Man, he put it back on, but you remember that in our lives that, man, the world just wants to take things from us. And we're living in these fantasies because I've got to make a play. I've got to go, no, you know what? Remember, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know the dream that I put in you, says the Lord. Good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, it's interesting. That finger hurts when I make a snowball now, or I reach into an ice chest for a pop. But you know what? I could still use it. And see, we look at our lives that, man, what God can do. Man, if we just allow the great physician to come in and restore our hope. Man, a future and a hope. Your future has hope attached to it. See, and that's where your dream lives. Man, that's who God is and what God has for our lives. Man, you think about it, good, not evil. Man, everything about the world is gonna produce evil in front of us and we're going, man, where's my place? And you know what? The world wants us to live in a fantasy land. Man, the world wants everything to be digital and fantasy. And I'm just telling you, that's not where God is. Man, where God is life is in real time and doing great conquests for him. And see, we have to look at our lives and we have to look at the dream that God's put in our lives. And let me just tell you, how that starts is the same way I fashion a message. That's how I look at the dream that's in front of me. You know what I do? I start taking notes. I start writing things down. I start trying to see things through God's eyes for people's lives. And you know, scriptures will come up and they'll tie in together. God, I pray that they have ears to hear. God, I pray that scales come off people's eyes so they can see clearly. God, help be the lifter of people's heads to where they lift their head and they open their eyes and they look at the fields and they see the dream that you put in front of them, God. Man, it all begins to come together and it all begins to work, but it starts with a couple of simple notes on a paper. What if you took the things that maybe a God-sized dream that's been in your life and you just write it down? You end up circling key words and highlighting things and underlining things. You may just take a black marker and scratch it all out and start over. But I'm telling you, the Bible says this. Are you ready for great news? Many are the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his steps. Man, maybe it's just plans that you're writing down that you're thinking might just be able to be a dream. Might just be the dream that God has for you. Well, you know what those plans consist of? Those plans generate then the leading of the Lord and the direction of God. Man, you write it down. You make it simple. Make it memorable. But I'm telling you, the dream that God has in your life, man, in next week, Christine Kane's going to come in here and I believe transform people's lives in our church. You have to invite friends and family next week. Man, come to multiple services. Man, it's transformational, the word. She's not just gonna come in here and deliver a message, but she, you know what? It's gonna transform lives. My life's been impacted by Nick and Christine Kane. Man, the work that they do is global now. But then the next week, I'm gonna come back and revisit this whole idea of dreams, and I'll tell you why. I believe that God's word enables us, we can preach people to their dream. I can preach my life to the dream that God has in front of me. In season and out of season, proclaiming God's promise. See, we have to look at our lives and understand that joint is where the supply is for that dream, because that dream, what you bring to the table, is not gonna be able to handle the dream that God's put in your heart, that God's put in your life. See, what's interesting is that we think about this, that when we look at the reach that's in our life, and I'm reaching, I'm trying to get it. God, I know that this is the plan. God, I'm dreaming. And you know what? I need somebody right here that's got a hold. And then I think about the scripture. I think about the scripture, Kennedy, that the Bible promises that nothing can snatch you out of the Father's hands. You know, initially, that's the rescue out of the fire. But then once you're out of that fire and your feet are firmly rooted and grounded in faith on the rock of Christ Jesus, you know what? Man, here's the position that God takes right here. I got you, man. Kennedy, I got you. Just reach for that dream. Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody tell you can't. Because I'm telling you, Paul was absolutely right. I agree with Paul. You could do all things through Christ who strengthened you. And you know why? Here's Christ in your life right here. And you know what that is? This is hope. You know what it does? It anchors your life so that you don't go off the edge. See, that's the whole idea. It's where you're connected. See, this is a house of prayer. It's a house of worship. We put a premium on God's promise. But as much as anything, this has to be a connection in your life. It has to be connected. It's not just a place that you go to church and you check it off the box. There are other places better suited for that. But let me just tell you. Man, I look at Joe. I look at people around this room who's God's hands on their life, and there's something incredible. Man, I begin to dream and I begin to think, you know something? What if we began to start 4 and 5 churches in a single day? All that requires is 4 or 5 pastors in this room. All that requires is 4 or 5 worship people and 4 or 5 youth people and kids people. Man, people that love to administrate. That's all that's required. Man, one person can't go do it. Man, I remember that we're in the old building, in the back part of the old building, the first year we did the nightmare. And we're doing the build out of the nightmare, and we realized that we needed to move the power in the building. And it was a very old building, and it was antiquated electrical in there. And I remember thinking, man, oh my gosh, we're done, we're cooked. And in the back of this crowd of about 20 guys that were at this work night, this guy said, well, Shear, what do you want to do? I said, well, we just got to move that power box. He said, man, that's easy. We don't have to move it. I've got a power box in my truck. He's a licensed electrician. And he went out there and he set the power. And I'm like, who are you? And he said, I'm just an electrician. I said, I know, but what's your name? And he told me his name. I said, man, where do you live? He said, I live in Wichita. I was just coming down here doing a job. And instead of going to the cowboy bar across the street, I came over to this building and realized that you guys are starting a church and you're doing an outreach in here. And I'd love to be a part of a church when I'm here in town. And I'd love to be a part of an outreach. Man, you know what happened? The dream. And I'm telling you, there are hundreds and probably thousands of stories like that here. But if I look at what's in my life, I look at what is in the tools in my, I'm just telling you, it's inadequate. But I'm telling you, you get the right people holding your rope, you got the right people on this end, you can reach pretty far this way. And it's all within our reach. And I'm just telling you, I've rethought this whole, the position of pastor. And it's not so much in an org chart anymore. You know what? It's standing behind somebody and hanging on just like this. I got you. Man, I got you. You're going a little farther? Okay. It's a little uncomfortable, but I'll go with you. You go, I go. And you know what? Nothing can snatch us out of the Father's hands. We're not going off the edge. Man, God's got a dream in your life, something that would scare the regular people. Man, I remember the year before we started this church, man, there were people found out what the dream was that we wanted to do. And people said, man, I met your wife, and man, I love Sandy, and your kids are precious. Man, don't do it. Don't do it to them. Better men than you have tried and failed. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to take so much more than me. And all God does is provide. That's all he does. How many times in your life? And I'll tell you, Abraham is so thankful that he went up and found that place where the Lord provided that ram. He thought he was going to lose his son. He thought he was going to sacrifice his son. But you know what God just said? Nothing can snatch you out of my hands. I got you. You know, I think about your dream, and it brings me to a point in the Word where the crippled guy is at the gate beautiful. He's begging alms, and he's sitting there with a pitiful, sitting there with a tin cup, and he's rattling it. He's saying, man, you got some pennies, you got a nickel, you got a dime. Hey, you got anything? How about a little something for the poor, a little something, something? You got pennies, nickels, dimes. You got anything? He's shaking that cup. Hey, you got something? Peter and John are walking by, and Peter's just looking at this fella. And finally, I think that tinkling of his cup with those coins in it kind of bugged him or something, because he looked at him, and he stopped, and he said, what? He said, yeah, you got a little something, something? You got a little something for the poor here? Just rattling like this. He said, I don't have anything like that for you. Silver and gold have I none. And then something rose up on the inside of him. And let me tell you what it was. Let me tell you what rose up on the inside of Peter was the call that was on his life attached to the dream in that crippled guy's heart. And you know what? He took this kind of posture. Because what did he say? He said, look at me. And he got forceful and he got demanding and it was aggressive. And then he grabbed the guy by the hand. He's going like this. Hey, how about a little something? He grabbed him by the arm like this. And he said, silver and gold have I none. And the guy could have said, hey, take your hands off me. Hey, that's assault. He said, silver and gold have I none. But then he said this, in the name of Jesus. And he snatched the guy up. The Bible says he came off the ground. He snatched him off his feet. So I'm thinking about this now in the age that we live in. I'm thinking about The Matrix, a movie. And this guy comes up and he's above the ground. He's hovering over the ground like this. And Peter's got a hold of his arm. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And what he could have done is he could have thought, you know, there could be a lawsuit in this. Man, I'm going to have this cup and about 1,000 cups full of coins. This is awesome. But no, he had a dream in his heart. His dream wasn't about filling that cup. His dream was about standing. His dream was about walking. His dream was about running with the kids, maybe walk into the temple and pray with the other people. And what happened? Man, the man of God grabbed a hold of him and said, silver and gold have I none, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he snatched him off his feet. When that guy's feet hit the ground for the first time in his life, bam, he's like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And he realized his dream. And what did he do? He ran and he jumped and he praised God. Let me tell you the posture I live my life in. I'm running and jumping and praising God. You know why? I'm living a dream. And the devil lies to me day and night. Let me tell you what this church is not. And I want to proclaim this to you. I want to proclaim this to the world. This church is not fragile. This is a kingdom. Are you ready? Because this is where your dream is. This is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You got that, Kennedy? This is a kingdom that's not going to be shaken. Man, you read about what's happening in Israel right now. God, I ask you to bless Israel. Protect those guys. God, do more than see this through. God, your favor's upon them in Jesus' name. Syria, in Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Turkey, man, in Africa, in Thailand, the border of the U.S. Man, I got the solution. And it's tied to the dream that's in your life. The hope and the salvation of mankind is in our dream. That's what I dream about now. I'm not dreaming about stuff anymore. You know what I dream about? Churches. And you know what I realized? I'm getting closer and closer and closer to realizing my dream. And you know what my posture is? It's a little bit of this, and it's a lot of this. Man, I got you. Man, just keep reaching. Grab a hold of what has grabbed hold of you. What's in you? Write it down.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.